federal appeals court says the EPA was out of bounds on proposed loosening of methane controls. From Marketplace in Los Angeles, I'm Andy Euler, in for David Brancaccio. First, an international conference on offshore wind energy gets underway today in Bremen, Germany. Turns out the U.S. is a pretty big player in wind energy in places like Texas and Iowa. America's not number one, but almost. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Ginzer looks at how the U.S. fits into the wind energy business at the global level.
The U.S. has the second highest number of wind turbines in the world. Guess who has the most?
China has nearly double the number of wind turbines that the U.S. does.
That's John Hensley with the American Wind Energy Association, a wind power trade group.
However, our turbines are just about twice as productive as those Chinese turbines.
That's partly because the U.S. has more power transmission lines. The U.S. is also second to China in wind power investment. U.S. wind power producers spent $14 billion last year on lease payments to landowners and equipment. Dallas Bertraw of Resources for the Future says some states, like Kansas, get a big chunk of power from wind.
Many states have over a quarter of their electricity generated with wind.
But only about 5% of the total electricity generated in the U.S. comes from wind. Bertraw says to change that, the U.S. needs yet more transmission lines. I'm Nancy Marshall-Ginzer for Marketplace.
A federal appeals court has blocked the Environmental Protection Agency from loosening controls on emissions of methane and other greenhouse gases. Earlier this year, EPA's head Scott Pruitt had suspended enforcement of a rule to limit emissions from new facilities for 2 years while the EPA reviews the 2006 regulations put in place by President Obama. But a D.C. court says Pruitt doesn't have the authority to set the rule aside while the review is being done. Reporter Dan Boyce of Inside Energy has more on how too much leaking methane could undermine how clean of a fuel natural gas is.
We all probably know the Mac Daddy of greenhouse gases is carbon dioxide, CO2. It lasts in the atmosphere for hundreds of years. Researcher Stefan Schwietzka studies climate change for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Boulder, Colorado. He says another greenhouse gas, methane, breaks down much faster.
After 10 years, it won't be there anymore.
But it traps way more heat.
It is a lot more.
Up to 86 times more than CO2. Natural gas, the fossil fuel we're drilling so much of these days, is mostly methane. Schwietzka measures how much leaks during production. And this is as close as we could get to a methane leak sound in Schwietzka's office.
What it might sound like, yes.
It's actually a tank of a different gas, but methane gets into the air like this. An open valve, a faulty seal. Natural gas producers also intentionally vent or flare off gas as part of their process. Schwietzka says these leaks should be weighed because natural gas is held up as a cheaper and cleaner alternative to coal. But at a certain level, leaks during natural gas production can negate its climate change advantage over coal. Kathleen Sagamas, the president of an oil and gas trade group, the Western Energy Alliance, she says her industry has greatly reduced leaks to keep the fuel cleaner.
We've done that not by international treaties or government regulation. We've done that as an industry operating under market forces.
She says there's financial incentive to capture more methane. It's the gas company's product, after all. But some burning off or venting is needed.
If you try to just tighten everything up and not release any pressure at certain points, you can actually create explosions.
Her group is suing to prevent a federal rule requiring natural gas producers capture more methane. She says that would drive up costs and hamper an industry that overall greatly reduces greenhouse gas emissions. I'm Dan Boyce for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.1% on the heels of the G20 meeting this weekend in Hamburg. The DAX in Germany is down almost 0.3%. The CAC 40 in Paris is down 0.1%. And the markets in the U.S. are closed for the Independence Day holiday.
Well,
What's the 4th of July without fireworks? Well, some towns on tight budgets across the country will find out this year. Some are canceling shows as costs associated with the displays are on the rise. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
The city of Rock Springs, Wyoming, has been hit by a drop in revenue in the region's oil and gas industries. That meant it had to trim its citywide budget by 30% this year. J.J. Sievert at the Parks Department says the fireworks show was an obvious cut.
When it comes down to it, it's $25,000 spent over 18 minutes. And when we're facing the kind of financial crisis that we're in right now, it's not as important as other things that we can do.
That's on the low side. A medium-sized display can cost a city or town between 50 and 80 grand, says Julie Heckman at the American Pyrotechnics Association.
And those big mega 4th of July shows are going to be well over six figures.
Fireworks themselves are getting more expensive. Then there's the cost of insurance, paramedics, special fees to transport dangerous materials, and the cost of getting them here.
Fireworks are imported primarily from China, and the import fees are on an upward tick right now.
She says if a trade war starts up, as could happen under a Trump administration, they'll go even higher. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
A trading glitch yesterday showed huge moves in the NASDAQ-listed share prices of some of the world's biggest companies like Apple, Microsoft, and Amazon. Stock prices for these and other companies all showed their price to be $123.47, which would have been a 14% drop in Apple shares, a nearly 80% surge for Microsoft, and an 87% drop for Amazon. Stock prices in the U.S. were only open a partial day yesterday, and the falls prices had hit after the trading day had closed, so the mistake could have been a lot worse. NASDAQ's website is saying the systems are operating normally. We'll be good to go when trading resumes tomorrow. In Los Angeles, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.